Let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel.
I'll give you another day or two before I ask you to show me your book.
That's what I mean.
But this morning we have a very familiar parable, story that Jesus told. Luke 10, beginning at verse 25. And as we read, let's try to remember these different aspects that we're considering. You know, why did Jesus tell this story? What's the context of this parable? And then what is the story? And what does it mean? And what does it mean to me? All right, so let's keep those things in mind. We'll begin on this side, my left this morning, beginning at verse 25. Sister Liz, you want to start us?
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
David?
What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it?
He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
You have answered correctly, Jesus replied.
But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Sister Jessica?
In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead.
Sister Gloria?
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side.
Brother Jeff?
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion.
So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him.
The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you might have.
Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?
The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
Amen. How many of you have heard that story before? I think all of us, right? Even today in our, if you ask somebody, what's a good Samaritan? Maybe even someone who's not a churchgoer or familiar with the Bible, they'll say, oh, that's someone who helps someone, right? It's become a phrase that we use. We want to be a good Samaritan. All right, so what was the, why did Jesus tell this story?
Love your neighbor.
Yeah, someone had asked a question, right? This expert in the law had posed a question to Jesus. And it says he asked it to test Jesus. Yeah. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And how did Jesus reply? Did he tell them? No, he asked him a question. He asked him a question. Well, how do you read? What does the law say? You're an expert in the law, so what does the law say? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Was that the right answer? Yeah, when you think of those two commands, the greatest commands, they seem to sum up all our duty before God and man. To love God, to love Him first with all that's within us, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Jesus replies, that's not the right answer. What does Jesus say? No, you've said the right thing. That's right. Maybe I have to tell you, when I stop and ask a question, I do expect you to respond, you know, so it's okay. You know, you can answer me, all right? That would be great. That would make it easier for me. We have 7 more lessons after today or more, so please help me. And now the lawyer now says, well, who is my neighbor, right? And again, he had a reason for asking the question. What does it say? What does it say there? He was trying to justify. Already he was getting a little bit uncomfortable here. Because Jesus had told him, do this and you will live. So Jesus was already saying to him, it's not enough to know what's right, but you need to do it. Right, and that's the way he had started. What must I do? And so Jesus turns it around. Well, what is the law? You know, what is the law saying? He says, well, love God and love. Well, he says, now go do that. And apparently the man realized that he maybe wasn't doing that as well as he should. Maybe he wasn't loving God first. Maybe he wasn't loving it. So he asks the question, wanting to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? So that's all in that context part. Did you get it all in that little space? That's the story behind this story. All right, now, what's the story that Jesus tells? Who wants to summarize it for me? I know my son will help me. He's like, no, Dad, don't, please. What's the story? In a few sentences. Brother Tom, you going to help me? Thank you.
This guy was traveling on a business trip and he got mugged. Someone was passing by and they didn't want to get their hands dirty, so they didn't help him. And another person, religious people, you know, they were special holy, and they felt that to help that person may have defiled them. Maybe they were looking at it that way, I don't know. So the priest and the Levite both passed the opportunity to help them. But then someone who was not considered a religious person but had a heart of kindness stopped and helped them and went beyond helping them, provided for him. Mm-hmm. For his recovery.
Mm-hmm. It's probably like today. We don't want to be bothered. We see a need, but we don't want to be bothered. These two didn't want to be bothered. Mm-hmm. I've got to get there quick, and so I'm going to avoid this and get on the other side of the road. I don't want to be bothered. I've got other things to do.
There's actually a law called the Good Samaritan Law. And it's to protect people that help people. Because sometimes when you're helping someone, they may be injured, you may do something wrong, they may have a broken bone, you don't realize it. And because you're helping them, trying to help them, it protects you so that you're not sued for injuring the person, mm-hmm. because you were trying to actually help them. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
When I first got saved around 18 or something, I was going to North Carolina, South Carolina to some Christian convention. So the guy who was preaching was in our car. So we're riding along the highway, and some guy fell off his motorcycle. So I said, aren't we going to stop? And the guy goes, we're late, and he has to preach. I said, again, but are we going to stop? And the other guy goes, oh, all the people are stopping. Don't worry about it. I just got saved. And I was like, never forget that. It's like in my head. Uh-huh. It was like, ugh.
I don't know where I read this story, and now we're going a little bit off on a tangent, but that's okay. I think it's a true, if it's not a true story, at least it has a point to it, like a parable, right? But there were this professor and or a teacher in Bible college. He had a class of students, and they were learning to be, I guess, studying to be preachers or Christian workers. And so he had them prepare a little sermon on the Good Samaritan. And he told them, you're going to present it at a certain time, at a certain place, at the college. And then when they went there to present it, there was a sign on the door that says, the room has been changed. It's all the way on the other side of the campus. And that's where you have to go to present this little sermon. So, of course, they all were a little bit late now because they had gone to the wrong place. So in rushing across the campus, he had placed someone in need. He had planted someone in the path that he knew that they would pass by. Someone that was going to ask them for help. And so you can see he was setting up a little test for them. And now I don't know how many stopped or how many passed by. But the point was that some passed by because they realized that they were late to get to that. They had to preach a sermon on being a good Samaritan. So how could they stop to help the person that was in need? And sometimes we're caught up in our religious even activities, and we fail to see the need that's right there before us. But have we covered the whole story completely? Not only does these two men that pass by, they seem to go out of their way to avoid that person, right? It says in the story that they walk by on the other side. They got as far away as they could from that situation. And then the one that Jesus, in the story, says helps is a Samaritan. Now, what was the significance of that? Why a Samaritan? What do you know about that? He was a despised person, a group of people that lived close by to the Jews, even among the Jews, but they had somehow got mixed up in marriage in the past, and so the Jews despised them. They didn't want anything to do with them. You remember when Jesus walked through, met the woman at the well? That was in Samaria, right? I must go through Samaria. And he even spoke to a woman, a Samaritan woman, and you know that's true. But they have no dealings. The woman said to him, we have no dealings with you. Why are you talking to me? And so they will look down. And so for Jesus to bring a Samaritan into the story has significance. He didn't make the one that was beat up and robbed the Samaritan, but the one who helped. And then what does this Samaritan do when he sees this person who's beaten and stripped and bleeding and dying? Well, he gets off his donkey, if he's riding it, or he stops by and he pours in oil, he pours in wine, he bandages him up. Place I read, do you think the man had just bandages on his donkey? Probably not. So what's he doing? He's probably ripping up his clothes to take care of this man's need. He didn't have extra oil and wine. He's giving of what's his. It's costing him something to help this man. And he goes even further. He puts him on his own donkey. Takes him to an inn. Pays the man. Take care of him. When I come back, if there's anything more, you know, I'll pay it. I'll just take care of him. And then at the end of the story, what does he ask? He turns to that expert in the law and says, now, who was neighbor to this man that was robbed? Who was his neighbor? And what does the man answer? The one who had mercy on him. Compassion. And then Jesus responds again with the same thought. Go and do likewise, right? He had started with that. Love the Lord your God. Well, now go do it. Tells the story. Still the same answer. Go and do likewise. So what's the meaning for us? We've talked a little bit about it already. But this thought about being good, we call him the Good Samaritan. What made him the Good Samaritan as opposed to the Samaritan or the Bad Samaritan? What made him the Good Samaritan?
He reached out to someone in need.
Okay, he did something. He did something. He didn't just say something that was good or right. Or he didn't say, well, someone really should help this man. He did something. And although we know that we're not saved by the good things we do, good things, good deeds need to flow from our lives because we belong to Jesus. I remember growing up, when I was younger, Dad always stopped to help people. My father, always a good Samaritan. And sometimes I remember that when I pass by that car that's disabled on the side of the road. What would Dad do? It's more than what we say. It's more than good intentions. It's doing what's good and merciful and kind. All right, what other lessons can we learn? Now, please help me. What was Jesus trying to tell this expert in the law?
Do it.
Just do it. What else? Do you feel that we have a responsibility to others? Do you feel that? Or do we say, maybe like the people in the car, well, someone else will stop. It's really not my place, you know. What excuses, let me ask you, what excuses do we make? What excuses do you think that priest and Levite might have made in their own heart? What were the excuses, you think? Could they maybe have said, well, what if the robbers are still nearby? Maybe they're just hiding behind the rock. They're waiting for me to stop. Would that have been a valid in their mind? And we would probably say the same thing, right? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily suggest that, that if you're by yourself, young ladies, and you see somebody in the middle of the night stranded by the side of the road, maybe you shouldn't stop. You know, maybe you should keep going, right? But that's really not the point. The point is that they could have made that excuse, right? What else could they have said? I think, did Brother Tom say it, that they didn't want to get defiled, right?
Yeah, in the law, they're not allowed to touch a dead body or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is their reason or excuse.
Right. Maybe they were on the way to perform service at Jerusalem, right? We don't know. And here they said, well, I can't get involved with that. What could have been another excuse?
It almost seemed like in that sense, such a setting, this is a little hard to say, but they're serving, their reason for serving God was getting in the way of doing the right thing.
Mm.
That's, how do you fit that in? Is there a situation where sometimes God calls us to maybe stop what we're doing or be a little flexible so that we can meet a soul's need?
Mm-hmm. I think we've heard that, right? We were trying to get to an appointment, or we don't want to be late for a service. We have to be there at 15 minutes ahead of time. Well, maybe one of the dish boys is still struggling there in the kitchen. So what do we do? Oh, can't help you, John. I got to go to church. You know? And meanwhile, he's got the floor to clean, and he's got a pile of dishes there. And but you know what? Brother Phil won't be happy if I don't get there to church on time. So maybe it's more that we need to be motivated by our hearts, that compassion and love. Have we been shown compassion? Have we been shown love? Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And here it seems that it's even beyond that. It's someone that we might not even know. Here again, the Samaritan, do you think he knew the man in the ditch or on the side of the road? No. And the Samaritan, what could have been his excuses? They don't even want me to talk to them, so why should I help them? Right? He's a Jew. He does the. If he saw me on the street, he wouldn't even say hello to me. So why should I stop to help him? What could have been another excuse? I have places to go to. It seemed he had a donkey. He probably had goods or something that he was maybe taking to market or going somewhere. Seems like that. And so we're challenged. We ought to be challenged by these words of Jesus. So how would you define then a neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Because this is what applies to us. I think I can say it in 5 words. Anyone?
Have mercy on.
Anyone who needs my
help.
Anyone who needs my help. Anyone that I can show mercy, as Sister Sarah said. That's my neighbor. Does it mean that the person lives next door to me? It doesn't mean that I know them. It doesn't mean that they someday will repay me for what I've done for them. It doesn't mean that they will even thank me. But it's anyone who needs my help. Do you think God brings people into our lives and situations into our lives to give us opportunities to be kind and merciful? What do you think? And so if we say we love God, and here is an important thing to remember, if we say we love God, then we need to love our neighbor. You think that's right? You think that's scriptural? If we say we love God, then we need to love our neighbor. And you could find other verses in the New Testament in the letters that John wrote. Don't just love in word, love in deed. And in truth. It has to be by your actions. You can't say to someone, well, be warm and be fed and I'm praying for you that you'll get a good meal somewhere, or you know. No, we need to do. We need to do. Go and do likewise. And it means sometimes that it's not convenient for us. It's not going to be convenient. It maybe means we need to get a little dirty. We need to exert ourselves. It's going to cost us something, monetarily maybe. Are we willing for that? Are we willing to give without thinking of a reward or being paid back?
Brother Phil,
I yes.
just wanted to share that to me, that's an opportunity of the Lord in my town. Like if you're, you know, down to McDonald's or someplace like that, I've had people occasionally come up and say, could you spare a couple dollars?
Mm.
My first feeling would be to judge that person instead of speaking with them. And I mean, I can't say, no, I don't have the money, I got to go. But because the Lord is opening a door that maybe, just maybe, you can say a word, you can speak to them, get to know a little bit about them. And, you know, if you have the $2, fine. If you don't have it, you still have an opportunity to speak to them about the Lord.
Amen. Anyone else want to share something?
The teacher of the law, as you said, was trying to limit his responsibility. He knew the great commandment was to love the Lord and to love his neighbor, but then who is my neighbor? And Jesus, with his question, turns that around. Rather than to limit the scope of the amount of neighbors that I have and that I'm responsible to be neighborly towards, he says, which one proved to be a neighbor? Who was my neighbor? Which one was a neighbor? And so widens that scope immeasurably, as you said, to anyone that I can help. I think this story is a very challenging and convicting story for anyone who approaches it honestly, sincerely. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is anyone. And Jesus really turned things around on them by telling on this teacher, turned it all around by telling him this. And I just would add that I think that the Good Samaritan is truly a picture of the Lord Jesus himself and his mercy in heart, merciful and gracious is our Lord. And he supplies every need. He sees our needs. And he has a heart for the ones who are in need, who cannot help themselves. And then so also his people. I like to think of this in this light as well. There have been many people, because they loved Jesus and his love and mercy filled their hearts, that they have been a blessing, and a blessing to me. I thank God for people that have come along and in the love of the Lord and in his name been used to help to supply our need and spiritual needs and temporal material needs as well. People have been very gracious to me because they love Jesus and therefore love me. And it's something that I suppose I'm not alone in this, that we can be very thankful for. So we want to join in and be like Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit down on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and his goats on the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. Thirsty, and you did not give me to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
You want to tell us that?
I think we ought to make this very practical. Let's be helpers of one another as we serve here in camp. If you see that one of your fellow workers needs help, help them. Help them. And you'll serve the Lord in that way. This is a, what shall I say? We need wisdom, some discernment. I had a fellow who came to our church, and I knew he was addicted to drugs and so on. I wanted to help him, so I picked him up every day and took him with me. And I was looking to the Lord to get a hold of him, speak to him. But it didn't seem to help, because one morning he said, I have something I must do, he said, and I can't be in your company. And so I found out later that he had taken an overdose. He had broken into our church when he saw that we had a group, a singing group. And he really messed up the place. And he took instruments. But I think he had some respect for me, because I did endeavor to help him. He didn't take my instrument. But he took others. He pawned them. He pawned them. Was I in error in endeavoring to help him? I don't think so. Someone said, "No, you did what you felt the Lord wanted you to do in His behalf." But on another occasion, I had a woman that came, and she had a little baby, and she wanted some money or help along that line. So I gave it to her, but she came again, and then I said, "Where do you live? Who do you live with? Can I speak to that person with whom you live?" And I'll ask them about that. They talked about paying the rent. They didn't have adequate funds to pay the rent. So I said, well, maybe I can call this person and verify what you said, but, you know, that was a mistake as well. It was her husband, you know, and he verified what she said. I think she got over $100 out of me. But the Lord has to help us. I had another fellow came and I took him to the altar. I thought, well, we'll pray together and so on. So he told me, he said, "My, you know how to pray. You're going to be like Billy Graham." He said, well, let us serve in as Jesus would have us serve. Emulate him. Do our best. I was interested in someone who prayed yesterday, and they were convicted in that they looked down upon others. Others. Do we look down upon others? I have these people come in, and I sometimes I like to keep a little bit of a distance because, you know, they're not so clean, and then to get near them. And I was convicted in that regard. Fellow came, I said, "Well, I'm gonna put my arms around him and welcome him," you know. So I did. I sat next to him and welcomed him. And treated him with compassion and love. Well, he came again. He came to the Sunday school class, but then he was going to Canada into a program there. But he said he'd be back, and he did come back. I don't know how it is with him now, but let us endeavor to be a helper. Helper. We sing, "Oh, to be like the Blessed Redeemer, helping the helpless, cheering the faint." Praise the Lord. And the Lord will give us grace. So let's begin at camp. If you see that you can be of assistance to one of your workers, fellow workers, give a hand. Let's work together. We speak of the fact that we are bound by love. We're united. We belong to one another. Let us love one another. And I think we have some good examples here of such. Always want to be of help wherever the need might be. I think of Tom. Tom, you know, if you need somebody to help you, there's Tom. Tom is ready. He's ready. He's ready. I want to be like Tom. I want to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's, what is it now? 325 in the hymn book? 325. Praise the Lord.
Stand as we sing.
All to be like the Blessed Redeemer, this is my call. Compassion. come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive thee, anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Now before we sing that last verse, we want to pray for our brother David and his wife Gloria as they leave us today. We're so happy that we could get acquainted with them. And so, and the little boy Gabriel, is that right? Yes, yes. We're so happy that you could be with us. And we trust it will be the beginning of fellowship together.
Dear Lord, we thank you for our brother David, Lord, and for his wife, Lord, our sister Gloria. Lord, we thank you for the love of Christ, Lord, that unites our hearts from the very beginning, Lord, and through your love and your Holy Spirit, Lord, we learn to take an interest in one another, Lord, and that is pleasing to you. And Lord, we uphold them before you, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Lord.
You that they could be refreshed Jesus, in these days Jesus. And spend time, Lord, under the anointing of your word. And
yes.
Lord, I just pray that you would lead them on, Lord. You know what the future holds for them, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue to bless them, Lord, and to make them a blessing, Lord, at their church and to their family especially, Lord. We hold this request that our brother has for his daughters, Lord. You know, those who are not following you as they should, Lord. And I just pray that in these days, Lord, you would begin to draw his daughters back to you, Lord, that you would work in this entire family, Lord.
Yes,
bring
Lord,
your salvation,
yes, Lord.
Lord, that's full, that's rich, that's complete, and that's free, Lord. And so, Lord, today we pray that you keep your hand upon them, give them traveling mercies, Lord, and may your presence, Lord, fill that car as they drive, Lord, and that
yes,
you would
Lord,
continue
yes,
to
Lord.
Minister to them, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord.
Oh,
we pray for their son that they leave behind in the cottage, Lord, that he would truly find you as his Savior, Lord, as he's with Sister Auntie, Lord, for the remainder of the period, Lord. We thank you once again for them, Lord, and we pray that you would be glorified in them, Lord, and that you would accomplish your will and your plan and your purposes, Lord, for this entire family, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Verse 5.
Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Sister Sarah, would you pray with us, please?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will keep these thoughts in our heart, that we must love each other and do good to each other.
Yes, Lord.
And help us most of all to be like you.
Yes, Lord.
And bless us now as we leave. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Just a reminder, this afternoon we have a staff prayer meeting at 4:15, and everyone is welcome to join us. We meet in this room at 4:15 for prayer. God bless you.